Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're doing two-year windows of comfort for your quarterback tiers here. So I've got six guys here. So if you look, top 11 guys basically make up the top two tiers. Still sorting out a little bit afterwards. So in terms of how exactly they fit, I'm not sure they fit in the same definitions as they did last year. So I might have to tweak it a little bit after this. But when you look at this, I mean, the tier is Burrow, Jackson, Wilson, Murray, Rodgers, Stafford. Again, I think this is a broader there's a number of different reasons for why these guys are here. So when you look at so we'll just go through each of them and talk about it. When you look at Lamar, third in expected points per game, 25. Actual points per game at 20.7. Those are all safe league scores. Expected interceptions 8.8, actual interceptions 13, expected touchdowns 20.5, actual touchdowns 16. So underperforms basically across the board in terms of versus expectation, essentially pretty close to a touchdown less, right, 4.3. So basically two-thirds of a touchdown less per game than you would otherwise expect. So I think he's a firm and complete. Again, we've got the elite season on his resume. In terms of the MVP season, that's during a rookie deal. I mean, that's elite stuff. He's coming up on a contract extension discussion debate here. They've extended him to his fifth year deal. It's interesting with him. Like, he's the theoretical. Oh, you know, you trade up so you get the fifth year option. Like, I actually think that it's rare that that's actually significant for him. This is a significant one. Right? This is a significant thing. You know, do you want to go? Do you sort of want to give him the, you know, the Wentz Goff deal, right? That sort of that big deal early in his rookie contract, or do you sort of want to wait to the end? You know, this is getting to be a Dak situation. Do you let him play out the fifth year option? Do you go tag? I'm fascinated by this. I've been fascinated by it for a while. At different points of the season, you could say, all right, like Lamar, like this absolute star, played like it, played really well. And then in other parts of the season, you're pulling out your hair. So this is the second worst PFF grade of his career at 65.9 over the past 3 years. And then into this year, right? So the past 4 years of his career, 56.5, that's the first year, 82.5, 74.9. 65.9 in terms of PFF grades. So you saw him go up, and he's dragged back down ever since here in terms of his passing grade. He's down in terms of big-time throw rate. It was 3.3 his first season, 5.2, 5.4, 4.7. At the same time, up, in hasn't really seen a decrease in turnover-worthy plays relative to that. So he's at 4.3 his rookie season, 2.1. So when you sort of look at that, that's more than 2-1. It's almost 2.5 times better big-time throw rate than turnover-worthy play rate in that MVP season. Then 3.7, now 3.6. So again, when you see the drop in big-time throws and not a relative move in turnover-worthy plays, that's not a great sign. So 24th in terms of PFF grade out of 39 qualifiers. So I would say a firm and complete. Not heading in the right direction. Listen, if he bounced back to something like last year, this year, right? If his season this year looked like last year, I think you feel a little bit better about it. The injuries, again, that's a concern as well. They're in a situation right now, and you can structure these things a lot of different ways, but they're in a situation right now where they've got the control and they've got the options. And there's nothing, you know, outside of making him happy. And how much that's worth to you is I think, a fascinating question. But outside of making him happy, there's nothing that forces them to act right now in terms of a contract. So, you know, maybe it's something in the lines of like, hey, you basically, you know, you essentially give him a contract in the lines of, you know, it guarantees something along the lines of two franchise tags, basically. And maybe you figure out a way to do that, you know, whatever that number would be, you know, this year plus the next 2 years, you know, whatever that number is, you know, figure out something revolving around that number in terms of guarantees, and then you feel good. I mean, I mean, all of a sudden now you're looking close to $100 million. So, that's I guess one way that they could do it. But I'm fascinated by how they're going to do that deal. I'm really, really interested in how that's ultimately going to work out. I don't think he's a trade candidate or anything like that. I know that's been speculated, but I don't think that's going to happen. But this is a good franchise. They've continued to put weapons around him, right? As a passer, Marquise Brown, they doubled down with, and they've taken receivers, like they've gone sort of Bills light. The Bills have done it through primarily through free agency and sort of adding that way. The Ravens have done it through picks, right? So it was Marquise Brown, Bateman, Duvernay along the way. I mean, Mark Andrews was picking them. Like, so they've continued to add during the draft. That's been their way of really addressing the weapons. And I expect they'll probably continue to do that. I mean, Dobbins is another one, right? So they've continued to do that. I mean, Hayden Hurst in the same year as Andrews. So like, I expect that they'll continue to put pieces around him. And you're going to need that cheap labor as you sort of have to, you know, extending out Andrews, you're extending out Lamar. Like, it's going to get pricey quick for them if they sort of go that route. So that would sort of be my take on him. Again, of the guys in this range, I think him versus Kyler is really interesting. I think that's really the debate. If you're going to make a debate in this range, I think it's – you could basically go – there's two different archetypes in this window. There's young guys, and then there's old guys. There's not a ton in between. There's Burrow, Jackson, and Murray, and they're 26, 25, and 25 respectively next year. Then you've got 34-year-old Wilson, 39-year-old Rodgers, 34-year-old Stafford, right? You're either young or old in this tier. Not a ton in between. So I think that's going to focus and narrow your bet. And again, is there arguments for Lamar? Yeah. Is there arguments for Kyler? Yeah. I think I'd probably put them both above Burrow just because I think both of them have higher ceilings than Burrow does. But, you know, who whiffs out of the NFL sooner, right? I think Burrow's probably the least likely of those guys. It's really an interesting debate about what you value. So I don't necessarily think I have a strong answer on that other than I think I probably trust Lamar in terms of his, you know, over the next 3 years to really make a big difference, probably him the most would sort of be my take on that. And probably, I think if you were to sort of measure the max season out of Burrow, Lamar, and Murray, I think Burrow's probably the lowest max season would be my hunch. And I'll get to that in a second here. I'll do it right now of why. So again, that was Lamar. Again, I feel good about him. Relative to, it's a couple of years. Is he changing teams? Is he, you know, if we start seeing, if there's another injury next year, sort of what does that look like? Again, so you see, I'm not nitpicking him in terms of years of security, but all of a sudden, like you get to a spot where, okay, like if he, on a fifth year option, if he doesn't progress, where do we find ourselves? That's really the question that I have. So, and then he's playing on a tag. And then if he plays on a tag like that, you know, I mean, just think of if Wentz had sort of done what Wentz did, right, on this sort of trajectory and they didn't extend him, where would we be right now? He probably wouldn't be a starter, right? So that's the concern that I have with these guys is that sort of Wentz track, is that Goff track, right? And this is sort of the range. So I suspect that Lamar's sort of better than that, but a step backward this year across the board as a passer isn't what you wanted to see. All right, Burrow, here's my concerns about Burrow are very specific. 18th in expected points per game at 18.4. 9th in actual points per game, that's at 22.3. He's basically the opposite of Lamar. So Lamar was, 4.3 points per game worse than his expectation. Burrow, he's about 4 points per game. He's 3.9 points per game better than expectation, right? And then they cross each other, right? So that's, I think, a noteworthy thing. That's a classic danger profile, especially when you look, you know, north of six. He's at 6.5% touchdown rate. That's a classic regression, right? That's a take the name away from it for a second. What if I were to tell you that there's a quarterback, he finishes as quarterback 8 on the season. This is his first hit. 6.5 touchdown rate. He's 15th in the league in terms of attempts. total, 20th in terms of per game attempts. You know, and he performs basically 9 touchdowns better than he's expected to do. What would you say about that? Well, you probably would say, like, hey, that looks a lot like maybe a younger version of Ryan Tannehill. You know, and we like Ryan Tannehill because he's sort of done this a couple years. But at the same point, you sort of say, okay, well, what is Ryan Tannehill at this point? Well, he's kind of a, you know, he's kind of a, you know, and he maybe belongs in this tier. He probably actually does belong in this tier. The problem that I would have with him is he's on a, he's very much on a lesser arc, right? He doesn't have the sort of ceiling that these other guys have. So, again, he's one that I struggle with in terms of defining these. For the purposes of this debate, I'll put him in this conversation as well because I think he looks more like Stafford and maybe Russ than he does look like Matt Ryan, which would be the next tier that he would kind of fall into. So I'll add Tannehill in this tier as well. Again, similarly priced to Stafford, but I think lower upside. And so you sort of look at him as a comp for he's 8 years older than Burrow, but that back half of quarterback one on high variance, right? That is, especially as a first hit, like, again, we know that that's a danger zone for quarterbacks. Do I think Burrow's good? Yes. Do I want to pay a first-round starter pick for him? Absolutely not. No, there's no way I'm doing that. There's a lot of ways for him to miss, a lot of ways for him to regress, and that's not the business that I'm in, right? I am very much and then the question that I have is, if you wait a year, he's good, he does the exact same thing next year. And then you could say, okay, like, now I kind of have a better understanding of who he is, right? He can sort of do this again, whatever. How much more expensive is he going to be? I think the answer to that question is probably not much more expensive. And if that's the case, you're saying, okay, like, what's the, all I'm doing now taking him as a first round startup pick is embracing downside. So that's sort of the problem that I would have with taking Burrow at this cost. And again, then I think Kyler has, I think, a higher upside as well. So, and you've seen it for multiple years now at this point with Kyler, you kind of have a better understanding of where he is at. That would sort of be my take on Kyler. Best deep ball grade in the league. It's worth noting that Burrow is best PFF grade in terms of quarterbacks. And again, so it's not that I don't think he's a good quarterback. It's that I just question some of the fantasy upside, right? And again, he's basically done all of this on high touchdown rate. Again, is he good? Yes. Is he an elite fantasy producer? Is he, you know, a long-term difference maker? I don't think we have seen that yet, and that's my cause for concern, right? And this is a dangerous spot. Whereas you look at a guy like Kyler, you've seen some growth out of him. Is he the same passer? No, but you've seen him take definitely jumps forward. Best deep ball grade at PFF, that's a notable thing for Kyler. You've seen multiple years of him. I think the concern that I have is there's just enough smoke around him that gives me a shade of pause. You know, you keep hearing guys, and I don't know if this is nonsense or if there's something to this that people aren't saying, but it's the, hey, we're dealing with a guy who could have baseball as an option. And do I think that's likely? No. Is it possible? Maybe. You hear stuff like, I don't know if the commitment level is there, right? And then you see a guy, again, this is, now I'm going from analytics to total narrative stuff, but you say, all right, then you see a guy who's struggles to get back from injury, for example, or some of those things, and you could say, all right, like, I guess I could sort of, is that what's happening here, or is it just that's kind of how he is, right? So there's, I think, that concern there. And that, those things pop up and we sort of see, and one thing I've sort of done this content thing more and more, those things give, when I hear those same, and again, this isn't from fantasy people. When fantasy people do this, I don't necessarily trust it, but when, I don't trust it, but when bigger media does it, you know that they're talking to people You know that they're sort of it's informed by something other than just like pure speculation, and it always gives me a slight level of pause. Again, do I think he's going to go play baseball? Probably not. Is there something more there in terms of like, is he just not, you know, he's just not preparing? Is he not, you know, all of those things? Like, it gives me just enough pause to say, huh. You add in the fact that if he's banged up, he's not good, right? Those things are a concern. I just don't feel the same level of confidence that I feel with a guy like Herbert, that I feel with a guy like, you know, the top tier guys. If that, he fits a lot more in terms of risk, like Lamar Jackson and Burrow, than he does Josh Allen, Herbert, and the guys ahead of him, right? So it's really the concern that I have. Expected points, top six, actual points right on the number, and he's quarterback seven. You've seen a jump in PFF grades across the board, 61, 77, 88, big time throw rate up each year. It's doubled, so 4.0, 4.6, 8.1. That's a big jump. And the turnover worthy plays are down in the process. So he's basically 4-1 big time throws to turnover worthy plays, just short of that. And best deep grade in the league. So you look at all that and you say, all right, like that's a really good quarterback. I want to see him do a full season of not getting banged up, of sort of taking care of himself, of able to maintain that. Do I feel if I were to take a bet in this range, it's probably, you know, on the younger guys, it's either him or Lamar ahead of Burrow, I think. And Burrow puts himself in troubles in different ways. And I think that, you know, we sort of look at them differently because of, you know, it's Burrow doesn't necessarily do it with his legs as much. And probably if we're being super honest with it ourselves, like we don't think about white quarterbacks getting injured the same way that black quarterbacks get injured. Like that's 100% a problem. Like that's just the way we've, you know, that's been historically the way quarterbacks are viewed. They're viewed differently, right? I think that is something that we have to, you know, be attuned to. And the fact that maybe Burrow doesn't necessarily run the same way Kyler and Lamar do, you know, Clint in our group has consistently pointed out, like, hey, it's the pocket quarterbacks. Quarterbacks get hurt in the pocket, not running typically, which, you know, there's good evidence of that. And you look at it, and Burrow takes unnecessary stuff, right? He gets hit way too much and he turns way too many pressures into sacks, right? That is a concern. But because of the way he plays, people view the risk differently than if he was, you know, sliding around, taking shots, running, right? Just the way people view it. And it's just something that we have to, you know, I think we have to sort of keep in mind and keep attuned to. So just be careful that we're not making those same assumptions. So that's the young group here. Again, then I'll include Tannehill here. I didn't mention him earlier. Tannehill, Stafford, Rodgers, and Russ. I think each one of them, I mean, Tannehill, I don't think you're ever going to see a huge volume season. So you're going to be sort of in this spot where he's like going to volume aggregate high-end quarterback two type production, and going to flip between, you know, the touchdowns are going to make him either a, you know, maybe a top 10 guy versus being like, you know, quarterback 15, something like that, you know, over the next couple of years here. And then, you know, their supporting cast outside of AJ Brown's not good. So we need to watch that. And Derrick Henry, I guess from that perspective as well, but as a passing game, it's not necessarily great. So that's the concern that I have with him. You know, volume's always going to be a concern. They're going to run more, as well, than some of these other teams. Stafford, when you look at Stafford, this is basically essentially who he's been almost his entire career, is where he's at. 8.1 yards per attempt is the second highest number of his career. He's at 8.6 in 2019. He's right in line with his PFF grade typically. His PFF grade right about at 80, hit his range between 79 and 82 the last 6 years. We know exactly who he is from a production perspective. We see a little bit of uptick because I think some of the McVay stuff helps him out. Kupp has the historic year, so you see the yards per attempt go up, but we kind of know exactly who he is as a quarterback. You know, big time throw rate is 5.7 career average. Just above it, it's 5.2, 3.7 turnover worthy play, so a little bit above average there, and or I guess below average in terms of performance. It's a career average of 3.3, so And just on the negative side of that, again, not a huge deal, but noteworthy nonetheless. And, you know, some of the thought was, hey, he's going to come into this McVay system and be a huge performer. I wonder, and I put this in the chat today, and I'm going to explore. I have a team where I'm a dead red contender. And what do I do from Stafford? Can I go up and I have two firsts, and they're like burning a hole in my pocket. Both of them contenders. Like, does Stafford plus two firsts get me close to Mahomes? Like, what does that get me? Is something I'm definitely going to be thinking about here going forward. So I don't know if it gets me all the way up there, but sort of trying to sell high on a Stafford share where I think I can just up the ante a little bit. I think this is maybe the best we see out of a Stafford production season. And, you know, quarterback five, excellent. Do we get all the way to a quarterback one? And the difference between five and one is there's a difference there. And the difference between having a guy that's maybe a top, you know, I don't know, if he settles in at quarterback 10, the difference between him and at quarterback 10 and a quarterback 3, 4, 5 in terms of ADP or even higher than that, like, it's a big difference in terms of expectations. So I do think moving up that curve is something that I'm going to shoot to do, where I have Stafford, you know, where he's basically maybe seen an uptick in valuation here with his performance, maybe off the heels of a high-end production playoffs. Rodgers, again, probably going to win the MVP. Quickest time to throw in his career at 2.59. Shortest ADOT of his career at 8.1. He's basically just been a get-it-in-and-out type of quarterback. And it's worked. I mean, it's a good system. Like, they're really in tune with it. It's not insulting to say that. 22 expected points per game, that's ninth. 24.9 actual points per game, that's third. So again, he's probably going to win another MVP. And I think one of the questions with him is, again, he's going to be 39 and he's maybe heading to a change of teams, right? So you have all of that concern there. I think he's properly a back half quarterback one. And you just have to realize when you take him there, you have to sort of play to win right now. And there's no problem with that, but you just sort of, if you're going to do that, you're not productive struggling with him on your roster. Like, if he's available there, like, go, right? And maybe that's a decision you sort of wait to make in terms of your direction of your team until you're on the clock with him. But that would be sort of what I would think about him. Stafford a little bit younger. And then Russ, I think you have big questions with Russ. You know, are we seeing a change in teams, right? Yeah, he's 19th in PFF grade at 70.7. It's his worst PFF grade in a season. Expected points per game, 16.7. That's a quarterback 27 type production. Points per game, 20.1. That's 14th. Again, so that system, even though you have Lockett, you've got Metcalf, it's not producing to the level that you want it to. Again, is there going to be a change there? We'll see. I think this next week or so, in terms of all these coaching changes, if there's, you know, I'm recording this on Monday night, is there changes throughout the week? I mean, that'll all be stuff that we'll have to watch for, you know, trade demands, all that stuff. I'm really interested in, he's one of the big storylines of the offseason. And then one other thing too is there's some the Bayesian ranks. Kevin Cole at PFF does Bayesian ranks, just updating on career stuff and where he's been at. It incorporates EPA and PFF grade and all that stuff. He's 19th of the season. He's 7th in active quarterbacks in that stat. So in the Bayesian rankings there. So I think it's interesting there in terms of his arc. Again, if he's going to be a quarterback two in terms of like cost, like if he's going to be quarterback outside of quarterback 12, I mean, that's a smash. You sort of have to, right? That's a risk that at that cost, like that's a risk that can win a league. And so, again, we'll see sort of where he lands. But there's some situations that I think could be better for him. Again, there's probably some that could be worse, but there's definitely situations he could land in that could be better than Seattle is in terms of offensive minds, in terms of potential weapons as well. And I like Metcalf. I like Lockett for what they are. But we would be lying to ourselves if we didn't realize that there's limitations to that offense. So, and maybe Russ has some limitations too. And at 34, like there's concerns there about some of the pressure that he's taken, some of the hits that he has taken, some of the ways that he plays, is that something that ages well? Whereas a guy like, you know, he would have to maybe turn into be a little bit more like Rodgers, like get the damn ball out of your hands, right? Is that something that we'll watch for and see? I think that's a big, right? This is the latter, you know, the latter third of his career, if you will. What is that going to look like? Is it a Rodgers arc, or is it a, you know, is it something that ages worse than that? And I think that's a big deal, a big question here going forward. So he's maybe him and Watson and Rodgers, probably the three biggest questions. Lamar as well. Their situations, probably the biggest questions at the quarterback position here in this offseason. All right, well, that will do it for this episode. Again, going in-depth here, so we basically have almost an hour of content on the top, I guess, you know, the top tiers of quarterbacks. I guess it's top 12 in terms of actual quarterbacks in the tiers. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.